Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all try Kim Crawford's signature Sauvignon Blanc. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and I'm feeling festive, spicy, and a bit dickish tonight. And on the show, speaking about all those things, we have the unlicensed taxi driver.
Festive and dickish as well.
Yes. And just dickish, we have the triple... No, I'm just joking. Beautiful. Wow. Wonderful. No. It's the triple B, folks.
Well, like stunned into silence.
There we go.
Well, he's just trying to make you feel like you fit in.
That's true. And you wait, like she fits in?
Yeah.
What's that supposed to mean?
By also being dickish.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to suggest you were suggesting she's an outcast. It's terrible, Scott. How dare you?
You did just defile your wife in front of millions in our listeners' audience.
They might think that that's something else, and you just meant I spoke ill in a sarcastic tone. I wasn't serious.
Right.
Uh-huh. Go paint your face some more. Anyway.
Yeah, I do have
white paint all over his face.
Yeah. Folks. I was painting a ceiling and it's on my face.
You were just looking up and it's just dripping down in your face.
Oh,
you're like, la la la. No cares in the world.
So irritating.
And you look like a Dalmatian.
I am a Dalmatian.
Oh man. Well, on tonight's show, folks, we have a special show because we're celebrating a special thing and a special person. This is the Triple B's birthday week.
Yay.
And so we're celebrating her tonight.
Happy birthday to you.
And I purchased a wine for the Triple B. And I said, you can do with this as you want. I mean, you could pour it out if you wanted to. You could drink it by yourself if you wanted to.
I could have you and Scott drink it without me if I wanted
to. Ooh.
You've already chosen to do that before. We weren't going to do that again. That was your choice before. Yes. No, on tonight's show, we have I think it's an interesting wine because I've seen it in the stores for several times now, and we've never purchased it. But this is a winery that we have quite a bit of familiarity with. I said it correctly.
I
almost didn't. Yes.
Familiarity.
It is, especially when you're just kind of teetering off kilter.
Slightly wasted.
I haven't drank yet, which is terrifying. But nevertheless, we have Kim Crawford's Signature Reserve Sauvignon Blanc.
Very, very nice.
Yes, from Marlborough in New Zealand, of course. Owned by, of course, Constellation. Used to be owned by the new proprietors of Love Block, which we're quite the fans of. And this wine comes in about the same price as Love Block Sauvignon Blanc, about $20.
And also, Kim Crawford's a man.
Yes, he is.
That blows
my mind on a daily basis.
Why?
Kim is a weird name for a man.
I know Kims, men Kims.
Who?
Well, I mean,
besides Kim Crawford.
I don't want to name them on the air. I mean, Kim Smith.
Bullshit.
I know him. He's very masculine. He's a lumberjack.
I think the naming of males as Kim once upon a time was a popular British name.
Oh, and isn't Kim Jong?
Yes. Kim Jong Il. It is sometimes in Asia, whatnot. Yeah, some of the Asian countries. Kim. Nevertheless, on tonight's show, we have a very, very funny episode. Very lively, very festive.
So, yes. My first question is, ooh, what makes it be Signature Reserve?
Well, they put a different label on it, and it said that. No.
They charge more.
They do. And the one thing I could find, because that's actually a question that I asked myself.
Right.
Why is this different than standard Sauvignon Blanc from Kim Crawford from Marlborough? All I could find out was that they select these grapes from small lots.
Mm.
Parking lots. They buy the grapes from different vendors that are parking in lots.
Mobile home lots.
Smaller lots, yes. That's where if it was a Trader Joe's wine, that's what it would be. But
the biblical story, lot.
Right. Mm-hmm. Possibly.
What I'm guessing is there's absolutely nothing that I can small lots. What the fuck? I know.
Price point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this they consider this to be better for some apparent reason. It's not on oak. It's
maybe
not a single vineyard.
Put it in a special, I don't know, metal container and label it signature, and then it becomes signature.
Well, the label is prettier.
Yeah. That's fair. It has some more extra detail.
It's worth at least $2 just for that label. I mean, it is. And the glass seems to be heavier. So there's that. The lead content in the bottle is higher from what I understand.
Perfect.
So there's that.
It's wonderful.
Yes. So all these things, just little bits and pieces, add up to $20.99. Mm-hmm. Although I've seen it for $25, which is...
Whoa, really?
Well, I mean, you know, people pay a lot for things.
Was this the bottle that they made gold for a while, or was that just the regular?
It has gold on it. I mean...
No, do you remember they had the, like, the case stacks were gold?
Oh, no, that was just regular.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you see those?
That was for, like, New Year's.
Yeah, it's pretty gaudy.
You gotta think of it in this term. Some dumbasses will pay $110 a bottle for Gergachill Merlot. I mean, just think about that. Think of the dumbass people that would do that. That'd be so stupid.
I'll tell you something that I saw that was offensive. This isn't potpourri, but
yes,
we went to Bonefish last week.
Yes,
and we saw someone that got a bottle of Ménage à Trois at Bonefish.
Yeah, it's not with their mussels.
Nice pairing.
Not white, mind you. Ménage à Trois red.
It was some red. It is the weirdest thing to me, and I meant to look on the wine list to see how much it cost, but I'm like, you probably spent $30 or $40 on that bottle that is $5.99.
And that gentleman, he did not like to button his shirt all the way. It was down, and then he had like a charm in his chest hair.
And he had a lot of bracelets on. He was like silver bracelets.
He was
very nice.
And his name was Kim, ironically. I mean, you know, who knew? Yes, they, you know what they should serve that in? Like a Kool-Aid pitcher, but like the actual Kool-Aid guy, with his hand up.
That changes color when it's cold.
Yeah, that's what it should be served in, I think.
So I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, he was very masculine. Maybe.
Oh, they could have made a different choice with Naomi.
It looks like they had some choices.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, Bonefish is fine. They could have gotten Rodney Strong Merlot. They could have gotten.
Yes.
Could have gotten. Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc?
Yeah.
And they could have put sugar packets in them, too.
Well, how
and
much was it? Wasn't it $50 for a bottle of Kim?
Yeah, that was stupid. It was more. It was like $15 more for Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc than Maryvale Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc. And I'm pretty sure they cost the same in the store. If not, Maryvale costs more.
I think that Kim Crawford is a more recognizable name.
Yeah, but that's just
well, I'm
dumb.
Just saying, so people are going to be like, oh, I've seen that. I'll get that.
They're just trying to give it to you.
People have never heard of Duckhorn Sauvignon Blanc, so we're going to charge $43 for that bottle. Oh, God.
Yeah.
By the way, that was the second choice. I was debating between this, Love Block, which we've already drank, and Duckhorn Sauvignon Blanc. But I figured the Duckhorn Sauvignon Blanc was oaked.
For tonight?
For this wine, yes.
Oh.
Not necessarily tonight, whatever. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with more information and frivolities.
Mm.
That's a word not often used, probably for good reason, here on The Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So, the 2017 Kim Crawford Signature Reserve Sauvignon Blanc. This wine has been reviewed, and it's done quite well. It's done quite swimmingly, as they might say.
Swimmingly?
And I have found 4 reviews online. 4.
Were any of them by Michael Phelps?
No, none of them were by Michael Phelps. But the first one was by the Michael Phelps. No. The Tanya Harding of wine reviewers in Wilfred Wong. Not really. And Wilford, once again, he had his diary accidentally leaked online. So, in his review, it says commentary in all caps.
Why does it? Why does he do that?
Dear diary.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's his diary. No. I mean, yeah. Commentary. Dear diary.
That's what you get.
I got attacked by a moth, actually. Dear diary, Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver, makes fun of me. I cry. Dear diary. No, he wrote, Kim Crawford is one of the strongest brands in New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc category. That's, is it?
Thank you, Wilford. For the obvious Scott, Howard Scott, Cosell.
Scott, you don't find this type of insight everywhere. Only from Wilford do you get that.
That's true.
And then he goes, the 2017 Signature Sauvignon Blanc is top notch. But then he goes on to tasting notes, and that's all in caps, mind you. So he's yelling.
Tasting notes!
He's like Animal on Muppets. This wine is rich, complex, and fine. I think he means fine as, you know, fine as, you know, elegant and top-notch. Not as, it's fine.
But for what?
I don't know.
What are you doing? Are you interrupting my Wilford Wong review?
Well, we are. Sorry.
Get your Dalmatian ass on the damn mic there.
Okay. Sorry.
There we go. See, it's a lot better that way.
What are you looking up?
I was looking up someone to make another swimmer comment, and it took too long. Well, we're past swimmingly.
We never were in swimming. What were we doing?
Swimming.
We never had. That was never. No good. God.
Michael Phelps.
You made that joke.
Mark Spitz.
Jesus. Greg Louganis.
He's a diver.
It's true. Its aromas and flavors of dried herb, citrus peel, grapefruit, rind should provide an excellent pairing with a couple dozen raw oysters on the half shell. So you're eating a shit ton of oysters, man. 24 oysters?
Oh, that is interesting. Why the number?
Because Wilford believes it's an aphrodisiac. And with that, we also have the tasting panel. And that, by the way, Wilford gave it 91 of his points.
Well,
the tasting panel, the whole panel came together, all one of them.
The TTP.
Yes, in his mother's basement where he does his website. And it said, from selected lots, and by the way, the tasting panel gave it a 93.
A 93?
That's a very generous portion of their points. Anyway.
That's ridiculous portion of their points.
We haven't had it yet. But from selected lots along Marlborough's coastal plain, this white imparts rich tropical fruits that aid in broadening the palate feel. Grapefruit makes a dramatic entrance mid-palate and endures through the clean finish. Due to its seasonal acid structure and explosive fruit, this
seasonal
sipper...
Seasonal acid structure?
Yes, oh, I'm sorry, sensational. I don't know why. It didn't make sense to me when I read it. I was like, seasonal? Sensational. This sipper is a unique expression of this grape and its terroir. Or for those that don't know anything, terrier. Next, the Wine Spectator provided it a more reasonable 90 of their points. And they wrote, harmonious and expressive, with ruby grapefruit, mango, and citrus flavors that are crisp, with lip-smacking acidity. A fleshy texture and notes of saline and lemon.
Saline?
Yes.
Salt water?
Saline, yes.
Mm.
They mean salt water?
No.
What's lemon verbena?
Lemon verbena.
Yeah.
Verbena? Okay. Linger on the finish. Mm. And then the last one, if those three weren't enough, apparently everybody drank this. They went to the same party at James Suckling's house, although he never reviewed it. The wine enthusiast provided it 91 of their...
Which is a lot of their points.
It's a lot of their points. A lot, yeah. This wine erupts with ripe mango, pineapple, and grapefruit, backed by some grass and nettle notes. There's fruit weight on the palate, threaded with whetstone and bright acidity, with a long, slightly savory green herbed finish.
Ooh.
Yes. By now.
So we're seeing some consistent things, but they're all things we would expect.
Yes.
Right? Grapefruit, citrus.
Yeah, 291's a 90 and a 90.
Acidity.
Three.
Mm-hmm. We would expect that from a Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc. So,
and
you know,
from the original Kim Crawford, it's super grapefruit heavy.
Yep. True.
Pretty crisp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. but it's slightly fruit forward.
What was the Sauvignon I had at Aspen Grill?
Emilio.
Yeah.
That's a Napa. You see it on all the clearance shelves.
It was fine. It didn't have the grapefruit, which I love. That's what I like about like Sauvignon Blanc.
They sell a $60 Merlot, and they sell it at Meijer. Somebody's going to fucking buy a $60 Merlot from Emilio at Meijer.
No.
I mean, it might be delicious, but it's a fucking Emilio. Who the hell knows what Emilio is? I know Emilio Estevez. I mean, I don't know anybody else named Emilio.
Okay.
Do you still correspond with him?
Yes. He's great. He's a mighty duck.
Very talented actor, right?
Yeah.
One of your favorites.
He's got a lot of talent.
He does.
I love it. Emilio Estevez. No, but Becky does not want me to talk on his voice, Scott. So
he
brought the voice out. So on now I got to talk in the voice because I like this voice. But the Kim Crawford Signature Reserve Sauvignon Blanc. Let's drink it now. Back to my normal voice.
Let's take a look at that.
It's all there.
It is crystal clear.
It is crystal clear.
Just
but
slightly yellow, slightly.
I actually cleaned the glasses, though, this time, so that helps.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm so generous.
Is this a little more...
lighter.
...than the regular Kim Crawford?
It's pretty light.
Yep. And there's just the slightest bit of effervescence.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
Mm-hmm. And wines like this should be still, folks. It's a flaw. 74 right now.
I do smell the grapefruit for sure, but I do smell the minerality. That's surprising.
I smell the grapefruit from a foot and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very, very.
You can smell the minerality, right?
Well, there's minerality in grapefruit. Yeah.
I wouldn't go pink grapefruit. That's
no.
White grapefruit.
Yes, it's white. I think it's ruby.
No.
Impossible.
Something I love about Kim Crawford, like you can smell the grapefruit, but you can also smell like the rind of the grapefruit.
Mm-hmm. And
it's
also
a separate smell, and I love that.
A bit of pineapple, too, because there's a little sweet tropical edge to it.
And there's a little grassy edge to that. No, mm-hmm. It's just a little...
It's also wet when you put your nose in it.
You smell the mango?
I do. I smell mango, banana, tangerine.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath the mango tree. That's actually a song from Dr. No. It's terrible. It's just a terrible song.
We sing it at least weekly in this house.
Mango, banana, tangerine. If you sang that all day long, you would be institutionalized because you'd be fucking crazy.
You would go insane.
You would.
Underneath the mango tree.
You'd be found on one of those islands in Dr. No.
Yes. You're all radiated.
The guy with the hat would... have to throw his hat.
That's Odd Job, and that's a different movie.
Well,
is it the original Kimmy that has like a waxy mouth taste to it, or no?
I don't recall that. I remember big tropical fruit, a bit of acidity, nice, yeah. Definitely enjoyable, but a little bit easier to drink than some other ones.
Right.
You might be thinking Love Block.
Yeah, I think, I think it was more glycerin, a little glycerin.
Could be.
Yeah,
it could be. And this one's in the Cloudy Bay, Love Block,
mm-hmm.
You know, some of the better ones competition. So let's go in here.
Okay.
But overall, quite a proper nose.
Mm-hmm. And I don't believe it's on oak, but it sure does taste like it, doesn't it? Just a kiss of it. It's a grapefruit, though. It's not oak.
I don't get any oak.
Mm-mm. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not a fan?
It's full of acidity.
Of what?
Yeah, there's not much to it.
No, there's nothing there.
I get none of the minerality they were boasting of. I get none of the grassiness.
No, I get minerality and I get grassiness. What I don't get is some sort of lively fruit. It's very linear, and it tastes like an oaked Sauvignon Blanc, even though I know it's not oaked. It's from all the acidity. It's just weighting it down.
Oh, I get the acidity. I can't. I know that it's acidic, but I'm not getting the oak from it. I mean, I know, what you're saying. I know what you're meaning.
Yeah. 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 But it tastes as if it is, because in the mid palate, that's the way the grapefruit comes across. I know it's not oaked, I don't think, anyway. They would have mentioned that, but. And it's not round enough also on the palate to suggest that there's oak there. So
I'm not getting a level of minerality I would expect here. This is just, it's naked. The acidity peels everything back away. There is, the grapefruit is the dominant fruit, but there's, you know, you're not getting any of the other citrus. You're not getting that mango. I'm not getting pineapple particularly. It's a really, now, it is really crisp. You know what this needs is seafood. This does need seafood. This needs food, and maybe that would bring some of the other characteristics out in this.
I don't know. But I mean, why would you spend that much when you can buy, you know, Via Maria or Brancott
or the original.
Or the original.
I don't think this is as good as, yeah, I'm not enjoying this either. as I enjoy the original.
Mm-mm.
It's, to me, I like the grapefruit a lot, but that's all that there is. Yes. It's the grapefruit and the acidity, and there's just so much acidity.
I do have to say this. I don't think it's too acidic. It's just there's nothing else to go with the acidity.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
It's just raw.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't taste.
I agree with what you're saying, Becky, but I don't want the listeners to think that this thing is beyond where it should be with the acidity level. It's actually, the acidity is quite nice, but that's really just all that there is there.
You know what it tastes like? It tastes as if they drank a bunch of expensive Sauvignon Blancs from California. You know, the Stag's Leap, the Duckhorn, some of those. They go, we can do that in New Zealand. And so they made a carbon copy of it. You know, they just photocopied it, and it's not quite as sharp. It's also stylistically not fitting with the region. And so you get something that just is, it's not, they accomplish what they accomplish in California with oak. The oak Sauvignon Blanc, and get a rounder mouth feel. They also get a little bit of a toast, but not overly powerful. It's very, very, very subtly oaked. In this one, the acidity is doing that. But acidity doesn't necessarily bring you the kind of mouthfeel you want. And it also doesn't round it off and give it another dimension.
No.
Yeah.
This is fairly simplistic because it's grapefruit.
It would be nice if you had
second dimension?
The grapefruit and then the acidity and then the grass. That would be really, really, really nice.
Yeah.
I keep looking for it and I'm not finding it.
I mean, I guess on the finish, if you look at it hard enough, the grapefruit kind of transitions into a little lemony texture, a little lemony feel. I don't know what lemon verbena should taste like.
Is verbena like vanilla bean?
I wouldn't know.
I know it's a candle flavor. I call them flavors.
Coconut lime. Yeah, coconut lime.
Well, you paint your face white, so maybe you eat candles.
And
you would say, well, it's just too cold, Rob. It's not cold. Well, it is cold, but it's chilled, but it's not cold. It's not too cold.
No, it's not.
It's actually the perfect drinking temperature right now. I don't know.
The other thing, if I'm remembering correctly on Kim Crawford Sauvignon, just the regular, it's the grapefruit makes it very crisp. It's a very crisp drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even with all the acidity in the grapefruit, it's not crisp. It's not like...
It has a slight flabbiness to it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Cali emulation.
You know, there's nothing wrong with this wine.
No, you can drink it, but you're paying 20-some bucks when you should not have to do that.
The original.
Or anything. I mean,
I do prefer New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc to Californian. But that makes me sad that they wanted to like knock it off because it's not good. They should just stick to their style.
That's my opinion. Yeah. I mean, it's right, but no, it's not. I mean, it's probably not that. But it, when you taste it, you go, that's what this is like. I'm sure they're not doing that. But at the same time, I'm not quite sure what is. You have four reviews in the 90s. Only one of those reviews really is done by someone that drinks wine, but and that's a 90, a Spectator. But in Spectator, it's Constellation. No,
I thought it was Enthusiast.
No, Spectator gave it a 90, Enthusiast gave it a 91. Mm-hmm. I mean, that might be Constellation money that's popping it up there.
Yep.
That's the only thing that could that occurs to me. I mean, because they have this signature reserve. And it's not nearly as, and not to say, because the standard Sauvignon Blanc does pretty well review-wise, too, but this doesn't really have a purpose otherwise, and how the hell would you ever sell it? Mm-hmm. If anybody tasted it, they'd go, why the fuck would I pay $20 for that?
Mm-hmm. I know, it is a little bit disappointing to me, because the crispness, the grapefruit is what I love about a Sauvignon Blanc, and it's like,
that's so one-dimensional.
It just really is.
I know. I don't know. I don't even know if I can. I mean, it gets an 85. It gets an 86. I'm like, maybe I'm going to give it an 87, but I don't know how you get anywhere in the 90s.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like, anywhere near that.
No. There's just nothing. Unless acidity is your thing.
But it's not even that acidic.
Yeah,
you
really
said it yourself.
Isn't. It really isn't. No,
I mean, it's not like some bracing acidity. They go, oh
the
my
acidity
God.
Carries through. It's immediately on your palate, and then it's there in the mid, and it goes throughout to the finish.
But it's still linear and kind of blah.
And it almost doesn't have a finish because it's just acidic. Right.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like.
Yeah, it's rather short. It's rather short.
Yeah, it doesn't have any length.
Yeah, you're waiting for something to happen. That
I mean, really, if this came through at the end with a grassy finish, for sure, 90. I mean, it would be amazing. Can you imagine how great that would taste?
It'd have to have a little more than just grass. I mean,
it would be if it was grapefruit, then acidity, then grass. That would be great. Maybe some minerality from that grass. You know, after the grass.
I would also like a little bit of layer of tropical fruit.
Yeah, something else.
I mean, Kim Crawford. I mean, they have a little splash, a little pizzazz. It doesn't have that.
Something that's disappointing to me is when you smell it on the nose and you don't taste it. Because so you smell the nose, you're like, oh, wow, this has five layers. Mm-hmm. And then you drink it, and it's like, where did that go?
Well, this is the way I would also describe it. For those of you out there that drink, like, flavored carbonated waters, okay? Bubbly or LaCroix or whatever. It has, say you get strawberry bubbly or strawberry LaCroix, and you, for some reason, you've been smoking crack that day, and you say, oh, I can't wait to taste this strawberry flavor on this wonderful. No, it has a hint of strawberry.
Right.
There's no sweetness from it. It just alludes to the flavor.
Yes.
That's what this does. This alludes to other flavors, but it doesn't directly really have them. There's pineapple. No, there's a whiff of the kind of the pulpiness of a pineapple and maybe the fleshiness of a pineapple without any really of the sweetness of the pineapple. Oh, there's some grapefruit. Well, there's some acidity that's attributable to a grapefruit. But like you said, it's white grapefruit-ish. It doesn't have that round ripeness, that fleshy sweetness with acidity that you're looking for from your grapefruit.
Yeah,
mango. Well, it's as if there's just a slight dusting of mango, just a nod saying that mango does exist on a mango tree somewhere. But it's not in this fucking bottle.
No.
And that's what this thing is. It is the LaCroix of Sauvignon Blanc. It is the bubbly of Sauvignon Blanc. It's, you know, it's just an essence. That's what it is.
There's this classic scene from a really old Jane Fonda movie.
Barbara Donald Rella?
Sutherland called Clute. She's a call girl in it. And there's this scene where she's doing what she does as the call girl and going on and on and on and on and on. And then just there's this wisp of where she yawns and looks at her watch in the middle of sex
you
with this.
Mean, why are you
John?
We're
that's what this wine is. Anybody that gives us a 90, a 91 is just faking it.
Why couldn't you have said she's doing a dude? Why are you? It's not, what are you, PG now? Are we Disney? What the hell?
Well, it's actually it's quite a good movie, and I don't want people to think it's a freaking porno.
That's the only reason why I would watch
it. That was Barbarella.
Okay. It's like there's no nudity. Well, I don't want to watch that.
No, it's a tasteful scene, and it just it's
tasteful.
Yeah,
it sounds it's, tasteful.
It's hysterical in a way.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's anybody that gives this a score 90, 91, 93.
Mm-hmm.
They're just faking it. They're just faking it, and they're looking at the ad money.
Well, okay, okay, Scott, let's be real for a second. Okay?
Be real.
Three of the four of these reviewers are just faking it, period, because they're not real.
Damn it.
I mean, that's there's harsh. Wilford, there's the enthusiast and fucking tasting panel. Jesus. And we know the enthusiast gave it a 90, or the spectator gave it a 90 because of ad money. It's a Miami 89, right?
Tasting panel does things for ad money too.
They don't have ads. They make reviews so someone puts them on their fucking website. They're desperate. What Scott, can I ask you a question? When was the last time you bought the Tasting Panel magazine?
Never. I'm not
because
going
it
to.
Isn't a magazine.
Ever.
They don't have anything. They're probably a WordPress Foursquare thing just like we are. Like, damn it, we have to pay our renewal fees again. Oh, God. Shit. Venmo me your half, dude. That's you know. So.
It's just disappointing. This
it is.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
This is disappointing.
I mean, you can drink it.
Actually.
You feel obligated to because you spent $20.
Folks, it's a good wine.
No, it's not.
No, it's a good wine.
No, it's not.
It's just fine. Not great.
It's fine.
Well, one review said it's fine, but they must have meant
it's literally
fine.
It's fine.
Yeah,
that's what it
that's
is.
That's Wilford, wasn't it? He said it's fine. It wasn't. It is fine. No, it's fine.
She's fine.
No. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
A little shoulder shrug. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. No, I think this wine's good. It's easy to drink. Fun. I like the acidity in this, but would I ever buy it? I don't know. If I was out at a restaurant and for whatever reason I was going to have some white.
They'd want $100 for this at Bonefish.
And this was $9 a glass. And Mayomi's.
This wouldn't be $9 a glass. It'd be $15.
Right?
Yeah. That's true.
I wonder,
remember how Josh Sellers Reserve had that tagline, how they were... You know, they have a premium label or a name recognition.
Oh, my God.
So they charge more. And then, based upon their name, they sell more. I wonder if that's what this is.
Was that the same ad page where they said put it up on the higher shelf?
Yes. Yeah. Put it next to wines that are good. That way it sells. Well, fuck you, Josh.
Something that I don't know. I just was having the thought about if you are the tasting panel, if you're the wine enthusiast, if you're, you know, really the wine enthusiast and the wine spectator, and a lot of your ad money does come from Constellation.
Yes.
Because they're such a conglomerate. I understand maybe the tension where you're like, this isn't great. They're really highlighting this as a special lot, like a small lot. So I appreciate that they're maybe in a tight spot where they can't give a negative review, but I don't understand the 90-plus scores.
No.
Well, like I said, tasting panel, they only – if they review something that's an 87, they give an 87. Wine.com does not put TP 93 or 87 on their website. They don't do that.
Yep.
Same thing with – Well, Wilford works for the wine.com. He works
for wine.com?
Yes, he works in the warehouse. He's loading trucks. Hey, Wilford, why? We need you to review this wine.
Okay.
That's a
commentary. I don't like loading trucks. I like Cote d'Iron.
Later, I'm going to tell you whose voice that is.
Who's it?
It's Marge. I didn't know. Fatty liver.
I don't know. I don't think it's Wilford. So. Wilford always probably speaks as if he's confused.
Steve's fatty liver.
Like Christopher Lloyd. Commentary. I don't know. I tasted this wine. It's Kim Crawford. I thought, I tasted it and it tastes like shit. And I said, I give it a 91. And I don't even know what that score means.
All right.
They don't.
No. Of course, if you look at the reviews, you will know that I, James Suckling, did not provide this wine review because I knew that no one pays attention to my
reviews. Or maybe
reviews.
You can't find it because it was negative and Constellations buried it.
We gave it an 89. It's his first 89.
It's his first 89 ever.
You know, but think about this. Wine.com put Alamos Malbec. Who gave it the 13? Was it the Spectator? Yeah, somebody gave it a 13. I mean, I don't think Alamos Merlot or Malbec's very good either, but 13's pretty harsh.
Yeah.
You know, I think they might want to fix that.
We've given some low scores.
13's pretty low.
Nothing in the teens.
I need to give something to 13. I don't know what that'll be. Probably Luscious Pinot Noir.
No.
I'm building up an episode for that. Folks, you're going to love it. I think it's going to be next week. Oh, my gosh. Anyway. OMG.
So back to the original question you posed, Becky.
When was that?
What differentiates this from the standard Kim Crawford regular?
I think I answered that.
$4.
A fancy bottle.
$4. That's correct.
17 price point versus 21.
I can buy the regular Kimmy right now for $14.99.
Yeah, it's $14.99.
$14.99?
Yeah, $14.99 right now.
Wow, that's a good price.
Today.
Yeah.
Well. The lowest I've seen is $16.99.
Right. Are those half-eaten fucking pieces of cheese, you fucking bastard?
I was waving it in your face waiting for a comment.
What is wrong with you? You're just odd. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we have a curious question that I'm going to ask. And I think we've discussed this in other episodes kind of on an offhanded way. We're going to talk about vocabulary.
Okay.
Triple B doesn't really know what to think of. And this is kind of like a weirdo question you'd ask at your work.
Oh.
So you love this stuff.
Okay.
You might want to get a little closer to the mic.
Okay.
Here it comes.
So, what are some words that we just don't use anymore but we should? I think we talked about or never should use them. That's the other question. Vigorous was one that we discussed. Wow. There's never a good time to use the term vigorous.
Yeah. Vigorous, moist, erect. Those are all terrible words.
Well, if you have an erection, that's great. Scott, wouldn't that be a fantastic thing for you? It'd be unique.
I work with a lot of construction, and they talk about erecting this and erecting that, and I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
Well, you have a dirty mind.
Inappropriate.
What is the appropriate schedule that he has to erect the pole for the display.
What? I'm pretty sure that would never come up.
Well.
And it would be, you would be talking, and then you'd be let out of the room.
Damn it.
When is he going to erect the pole?
What?
Yeah, well. Why? Why do you have white shit all over your face, asshole? I mean.
Speaking of vocab words. One of my, and it's not even a word, but someone I work with says irregardless. That's not a word.
Regardless. Oh,
they say it all the time.
Yes.
They go, irregardless.
That's not a word.
With their hands.
It's,
you know,
regardless.
They do the handshake.
Well, that.
I know, and I think about it all the time, and I'm like, should I tell you?
Yes.
Should
non-regardless. Unregardless. Unregardless.
And I think if I said, and I love him. He is a great person. He's real particular about stuff.
Except for speech.
But then he says, yes, but then he says irregardless. I'm like, you are so OCD about stuff, and then you say a word that's not a word.
Well, that's a word we shouldn't say anymore.
What, irregardless?
Irregardless.
We don't say that, do we?
Irregardless, we shouldn't say it.
Yeah.
Irregardless.
And he says it sometimes, I'm like, man, I think I should tell you. Because he says it around, like, important people at work.
Ooh.
It sounds like he's very vigorous about saying it. It makes me moist. And erect.
Maybe someday I'll get a... And then sometimes he does do stuff that, like, really ticks me off. I get really pissed. Yeah. And I'm like... I just want to yell and scream and be like, you're not even saying a real word. You can't talk to me because,
well,
you're not saying a real word.
Irregardless. Let's, you know. But I meant real words, not fake words. Like, you know.
Right.
Come here. Sorry. Scott, do you have any words? I mean, we did, vigorous is one that we realized never has a good use for it.
Right.
I mean, he was very vigorous. I mean, well, really?
Shake when
he's
vigorously.
He's in jail. Yes. Pull vigorously.
So
normally,
funny.
Erect would be along with that.
Well,
he was very vigorous.
He's very vigorous. What about excuse me?
No.
We should say excuse me more often, don't you think? People That's are just rude.
Oh, speaking of that, we just got back from vacation.
And speaking of rude.
Me. I had this thing. Okay, if I'm on an elevator, okay.
Oh, my God.
The elevator story.
Do we have to talk about this?
We do. I am fucking sick of people that are fucking able-bodied saying what floor they'd like me to push for them. Fucking do it yourself, you twats.
Rob is, full disclosure, Rob is standing next to the buttons.
I don't give a shit.
I have done that.
I don't care. But yes, you can tell me because I'm there with you. We're going to the same place.
When you get in an elevator, you don't have any personal space. And so if someone's going to be encroaching on your personal space, I think it's okay to say, do you mind pushing 5 for me?
Folks, let me say this and let me set the scene.
This is a weird opinion you have.
There's 2 people in an elevator. Okay. I am standing at the back of the elevator, not next to the panel. It's not like there's 18 people in there. Okay. I'm in the back. The person is to my left. Okay. Now, mind you, the control panel is on the right side, well, on the side that I'm on, but it's at the front. The person can reach over very easily and press their own fucking button. But they say, and they don't say, could you please press?
They don't, because they think you're a bellhop.
Yeah, and that's why they can go fuck themselves each time. They realize, oh, you're not pressing that for me. No, I'm not, dickwad.
That's a weird opinion.
I don't give a fuck. There's this one Sasquatch little 20-some-year-old douchebag with his girlfriend, little skank. Sorry. And he goes, 4, please. And I look at him like, go fuck yourself. Go fuck your mother. And he goes, oh. And then, say, then he goes,
you didn't say that. What'd you say?
I didn't say anything. I looked at him like, no, I'm not pressing that button for you. And
why?
General principle. That's why.
Do you think that's weird?
No.
Dickish.
Yes. And I felt, and I was like, yeah, you're going
to
press it yourself.
I want you to ask Scott what he has pulled up on his iPad.
Dicks. Some things just need to be said more often.
No. But I don't know. I got tired of it. If there's 18 people in the elevator and I'm standing next to it, I get you. That's true. And you shouldn't be like, oh, no, you have to wade through the sea. There's another word that shouldn't be used. wade through the sea of people to touch the button. If I'm standing there, that's cool. And you say, could you press 4, please? But you don't speak to somebody like the fucking elevator operator where you're going to give them a fucking tip.
Well, I think go fuck you get yourself. In an elevator and there's two people.
Press the fucking
there's
button.
There's a left side and a right side. He's not encroaching on your space. I think you're the weirdo.
I don't give a shit. Press your fucking button your fucking self.
Okay.
Fucking douchebags.
It's not an okay opinion.
It is. I'm fine with it. I'm very comfortable with
well,
that
obviously,
shit.
Obviously. Fuckers. More often than not, it's the person that is in front of the panel to push what floor might offer.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Of course he does.
Apparently not.
Who was shocked by that opinion? No. I've never been less shocked.
No, less shocked.
I had half of mine to press every fucking floor on the damn thing.
Like William?
No, William didn't do that.
Yes, he did. We were on the elevator.
Well, they could tell William. He'll do it for fun and then press the fire call button. But they tried to stab me with a knife. He did that too. But, you know, throw shit off balconies from the 12th floor. Just a few things he might do. But he did go to vacation Bible school tonight, which was good for him.
Well.
And he liked it.
Yeah.
Which is.
He learned how to army crawl.
Yes.
It's an unusual Bible school.
As some people have said, that boy needs Jesus. Yes, he does.
Well,
he does.
Either that or Jesus needs him. I'm not sure which way that goes.
The only thing that's a little bit stressful about sending your kids to Bible school, and we ran into this with our oldest when he went to a Christian preschool, is that he is so literal.
Yeah, he's
so literal.
He gets too much Christian in him.
And so, Henry, we're in the car one day. And he started talking about his basically reincarnation beliefs.
Yeah.
Because before you're born, you're with Jesus.
Right.
And then you come down. Okay. And then when you die, you go to be with Jesus. So in his mind, he went ahead and completed the cycle.
Oh.
It's unfortunate that someone with an 87 IQ is the one that told him this. But yeah.
And so he made a comment to Rob's step-grandmother, who's in her 90s. When you die and come back, maybe you can be a baby in our family.
And she's like, oh, okay, I guess I'm dead. I mean, he was like, okay.
She didn't understand he meant it as a compliment.
I don't think I would have taken it as a compliment.
No, because he said, what he actually said was, when you die and come back as a baby, I want you to sit next to me in the car.
Yeah, he did say that. And that's just, that's something that's a little bit hard to...
Well, but he was what?
Digest.
Five at the time? How old was the lad?
He wasn't young enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
It's also weird as shit. It is weird as shit, but, I mean, whatever. He just.
Yeah.
Very literal. William, I'm very interested to hear what he comes back home with.
See,
all he learned the first night is about the army crawl. They didn't have snacks, and tomorrow he wants to go because he's going to learn how to do a backflip.
I'm surprised he didn't want to. That he wanted to go back because they didn't have snacks.
He had a big hamburger. Before a cheeseburger, he demanded it. Becky was gone. He goes, I want a cheeseburger. And I have those Private Selection Angus third pound burgers, you know?
Yeah.
I want a cheeseburger. And I said, I don't have any buns, buddy. He goes, just put it on bread. I went, okay, that's fine. Put it on bread. And then he goes, no. I want it
on
toast.
Couch.
Toast is what I want. And so I put it on the stove. No! You put it on the grill. You got to grill it. I was like, okay, you little shit bird. So I cook it for him. Cheese, everything. And he's laying on the couch, head on the pillow, it's just a fatty thing. And he has the plate on his stomach.
I
mean, it's just like, it's gross. He ate the whole damn thing. He loves it. That's a third pound. That's a big burger.
Keep in mind, folks, he's four.
Yeah, he's four. Well, not four yet. He's three still. And he annihilated that thing. They're actually decent. That's what I made for lunch. Becky and I just threw a couple on the grill, a little bacon on top of it, and blue cheese.
It was delicious.
With some tomato.
Yeah.
Deconstructed burger. It was, you know.
It was very nice.
Yeah. So, Scott, did you find some other words?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
No, he looked up 21 things we should say more often.
That's not, I don't want to talk about that.
Marvelous.
Marvelous. Yeah. That is good. What else?
The list is weird. Capable, believer, artistic.
It sounds like artistic. The same list that the president uses.
Mover, shaker, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Triumphant. It was a triumphant display.
I don't know anybody that uses the term triumphant that I haven't smacked in the face. It's triumph. They don't get the whole damn
excellent.
Word out.
Excellent.
Well, excellent is fine. Triumphant is goofy. But I am going to use the term vigorous. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
You're so courageous.
I'm going to make some people fucking press their own fucking buttons on a fucking elevator. And we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. We're reviewing the Kim Crawford Signature Reserve Sauvignon Blanc from 2017 vintage. I was laughing because we were discussing something off air that we can't ever have on the show.
Oh, no. We can talk about the merits of by sea or by land anytime we want.
We can do that. The Triple B is hoping we never do, though.
Well.
And it was all her idea.
She started it.
Boy, it was mean.
It was mean.
I had some good material.
Well, you know, maybe.
You never have a problem being mean.
Scott had some good material too. He had some very.
I was holding back.
You were more nautical though than I was.
Well, naughty, yes.
Well, that's true too. And so, speaking of naughty, we're going to go around the room. We're going to get reviews. Luckily, it's not going to require the use of too many of our points.
You know what? Naughty is a good descriptor for this wine.
No, that was suggested its personality. It is not.
No, it's naughty because it's supposed to be upscale. It's supposed to be a step up from.
I would say naughty is a word that you shouldn't use.
It shouldn't.
Yeah, well, not when you're describing wine, but it's an apt descriptor for this.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with the Triple B.
I love Kim Crawford regular.
We know you do.
Sauvignon.
You love him.
And I, part of me wants to do, like, deduct a point. Because this is the signature, and it's not as good as the original.
It's not as good as the original.
But I'm saying I want to take away a point for it.
Why wouldn't review it as high as the original?
I'm so annoyed. Anyways.
At me?
No, at the wine.
Oh, true.
Because it's not, you should buy the original. You should save the $4 or $5, $6 right now. The grapefruit flavor is great. That's something that I look for in a Sauvignon Blanc. I actually don't really love Napa Sauvignon Blancs because they don't normally have like that great grapefruit flavor in it.
Mm-hmm.
The nose was wonderful. It is typical of the varietal.
The nose was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the acidity is nice. I wish if there was. Like we said, grass, minerality, really anything else, it would bump it up to like a 90 for me. But without that, you're just like left hanging. You drink it and you're like, where's the rest of this?
Where is it? You just expect more, right?
Yeah, what's going on? And with all the resources that Constellation has, with all of the grapes that they have, all the technology they have, they can do better. It's just really, really disappointing to me. I'm going to give it an 87. And it's like an 87 with a thumbs down. It just makes me sad. It could be so much better, and it should be so much better.
Okay.
That's exactly where I was at, 87.
You're at 87.
Folks, this is easy to drink. The acidity really is nice. But there's nothing about this wine that says I'm wonderful, I'm spectacular, or that I'm a reserve. There's nothing about this that is elevated above the regular Kim Crawford. Now, the acidity is. That's probably the biggest differentiator between the two, but it had nice fruit. It had the proper tropical fruit, not just grapefruit. It had the mango. It had passion fruit maybe off the
passion
top of my head.
Passion fruit, yeah. It was like KJ of Sauvignon Blanc.
It was a wonderful fruit-forward thing that was almost
too sweet almost, except it wasn't a sweet wine. This is... I wish this was oaked, because then it would have something else.
Right. There would be another layer.
Right? It's just, I get it. I think it's naughty because it promised you something and it just teased you and it's nothing.
I'm glad that you gave it an 87, nothing. Both of
it's
you.
It's good, though. It's good, though. It is
my review.
Good wine.
Well, folks, let's break out the hammer and the sickle because it's time for the Russian judge and the correct review. I look at this wine, and I look at this as an absolute abject slap in the face. It's a money grab. It's not a particularly interesting wine. It's not a good wine. When Scott says it's good, he's wrong.
No,
he means it's fine.
It's inferior to every single other Sauvignon Blanc I've had from New Zealand. Inferior to every single one of them. All of them. This is not as good as those. It does not have any upscale features whatsoever other than the label. And this cap is very nice. It's very smooth. But it's a screw top, of course. But that is all this wine has. It is a empty suit of a wine. It's a joke. The acidity, it's got some of that.
Yeah.
Pink grapefruit, it's got some of that. That's it.
That's all it has.
And it's not even impressive acidity. It just goes up and down. That's about it. There's no structure here, really. It's slightly flabby. So it says it's not quite acidic enough. There is nothing exceptional about this wine. It gets 84 of my points.
Harsh.
Scott, it doesn't deserve 87s, for Christ's sake.
Something that we didn't really talk much about was that it almost borders on effervescent.
We mentioned it briefly. It's not recommended.
No.
And 87s, come on, folks. Really? Yeah.
I
stand by it.
You know it's a Sauvignon Blanc when you drink it.
Yeah, and it sucks. That's why it gets an 84.
Acidity really is nice.
It's not nice acidity. It doesn't do anything. It's not interesting. It's the dullest damn wine you've ever found.
It is dull.
Our expectations were high. You know it's a Sauvignon Blanc, so it gets an 85.
Nope.
The acidity is another layer. I could buy an 86, and 84 is too harsh.
You know it's a Sauvignon Blanc because it has acidity.
No, I know it's a Sauvignon Blanc because of the grapefruit.
That's acidic. What it doesn't have any layers. It has one element to it. And the acidity is just a part of the grapefruit. I know.
The other thing that is very disappointing is the mouthfeel. Like, it's fine, but if it had an elevated mouthfeel, that would be something else that would really elevate.
Slightly watery mouthfeel.
I agree with that. I agree.
There's your 84.
Well.
But it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything aside from that.
So I'm not subtracting points because it doesn't have that. I'm just not giving it extra points. But you're subtracting. We don't normally do that.
You do.
We can let him do it.
I think I gave the original Kim Crawford an 89 or a 90.
I gave it an 87, 88.
Yeah, I think I was in the same range. But plainly,
it's bright and enjoyable to drink. This is boring.
I would drink that over this probably every day of the week.
Not on Thursday evenings.
The acidity that this has. You know what would be a really good wine?
Scott, it doesn't have anything interesting. There's no acidity.
No, you know what would be a really good wine? If you took this acidity and paired it with a regular...
Scott, the irregular has better acidity. There's no interesting acidity here.
The original is pretty crisp.
Yes,
it's really
this
good.
Not as crisp as this.
No, Scott, this doesn't have good acidity. It's flabby. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have anything going for it. Other than the fact it doesn't taste like...
Trash.
Urine.
We finished the bottle.
Yeah, because you can drink it. It's light. It's drinkable. But an 84 is light and drinkable and insipid.
Yeah.
I mean, like that cheap Spanish white that Cindy likes. Remember that thing? That's light and insipid, and it's a low 83, 84. It's $5.99, so it works. Oh. But this is 20. But it's the same damn principle.
And hey, you know what? I saw prices of 25.
Yeah.
That's crazy. This
was $5-$6, you say,
If this was $25, I would be pissed. I'm a little bit ticked that it's 20.
This tastes like a pissy Mediterranean white. That's what it tastes like. It doesn't taste like, I mean, okay, there's a little grapefruit, so you might say New Zealand, but it tastes like a pissy little, you know, pays de oak white wine. Probably Sauvignon Blanc based off the Med in France or Spain, possibly. That's what it tastes like. It doesn't taste like a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, really. And it has nothing exceptional about it. It's not interesting at all. That's why it gets an 84, and that's the correct score. And you know it. That's why I did it.
Oh.
And you know what, Kim Crawford? Don't do this shit. Yeah. Come on, man. And definitely don't do a Signature Reserve Pinot, because that'll make me barf.
How could you give
this? And this isn't the top of the line. They have higher ones than this.
How could you give us a 93? How could you give us a 90?
I know.
It's shameful.
His mom, it was meatloaf night, and she also made cookies. So he got very excited about that when he was doing his reviews in his mother's basement. That's why. Another reason.
The oatmeal chocolate chip. I'd give those a 93.
This asshole probably likes raisin oatmeal
cookies. Without nuts.
No, it probably has fucking walnuts in it or some shit.
Well, if you're going to put raisin in a cookie, you need some nuts.
I hate fucking walnuts. And I hate them.
I wonder if she chops the raisin up or keeps them whole. I don't like whole raisin in a cookie.
I love oatmeal raisin cookies.
I want my raisin chopped up a little bit.
You like mincemeat pie, too, because you have white shit all over
delicious.
Your face. You have many issues, many problems. You're an unusual person. So... Well. For Rob the Wine Guy, who's correct.
Little.
I'm right.
Ambivalent. That's a word that should be used more often.
The Triple B deserves better for her birthday, so I have to go buy it.
You're the one who did it. That's why you're mad.
I'm going to have to improve.
You're not mad at this wine. You're mad at yourself.
I'm going to have to.
You are mad at yourself.
You know, that's the beginning of understanding. Admitting you've got a weakness.
You know what? I am mad at myself.
You have to
improve. I bought this fucking thing.
You have to improve.
This is my Gergich Hill Merlot moment, although, let's see, a lot cheaper. By hundreds of dollars, but that's okay.
It's okay.
That's whatever. Well, if I spent like $110, I'd be like,
Vegas prices.
Where's the bus I can step Vegas in front of? Prices. But any,
if you were at a restaurant and this was $60, how pissed would you be?
Not, yeah.
It would be. It would probably be $60 at a restaurant.
It's currently unavailable on wine.com. That means they sold out.
They probably pulled it.
Good for them. Yeah, they pulled it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think you're.
I think
I finally realized that you're harsh.
I'm looking for your consolation check, Wilford.
I know. He is pretty harsh, but occasionally one of us will be the Russian judge, and I feel like it's upsets the order of the universe.
A little bit.
I'm sorry. You just gave it because of Kim Crawford points. You gave it like 4 extra points for Kim Crawford.
Well,
and you are just dumb.
I told you I want to deduct a point because it doesn't have like an elevated mouthfeel or the grass.
Wow.
So I could see an 86. I think you're 84, stupid.
I'm not sure what exactly you're tasting that says, I like that.
I do like it.
You like everything. Jesus Christ. Even Triple B says it. Scott just says he loves everything. He'd buy everything. And you do. You bought Double Down.
I wouldn't buy that again.
You bought the Double Douche, the Iron Horse stuff.
Oh, my God.
He bought that. He bought Troublemaker. Luscious is still waiting for me.
I can't wait for that one.
That's coming next fucking week. It's a menage a trois episode, folks. A menage a trois. Three different menage a trois. You have to have three, don't you?
I don't know.
It's so fucking nasty.
Folks, we apologize for our behavior tonight.
I know. So, folks.
Rob's grumpy.
I am, because this should have been good.
Coming off a vacation, going back to work. He's a little bit nasty.
If by land or by sea, how do I deliver thee, my child?
What?
He's a fucking douche. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.
I'm just trying to be...